This is the Country Hour with Tony Briscoe.
Romance, hardship, European travel, a near-fatal illness, more the ingredients of a movie plot than the sort of drama that you would expect in a history of Australian farming. Tasmanian academic Dr. John Paul has uncovered such a story which makes up the life of Eileen McPherson. John Paul came across the story of Eileen, Australia's first organic female farmer, when he was searching for the beginnings of the organic movement.
I was at Oxford University and I was asked to do a history of Australian organics. And so I'm sitting in Oxford thinking, well, this is a wonderful place. And this is the home of the person who actually coined the term organic farming, Lord Northbourne. But I had a hunch that organics in Australia might have gone right back to the very beginning, and the beginning was Rudolf Steiner. And Rudolf Steiner, based in Switzerland, was suggesting that we should have a differentiated agriculture, differentiated from chemical agriculture. And he gave a course in 1924 in Poland, Kobowice, if you're Polish. Now, I wondered, was there any Australian connection there? Because if there was an Australian connection, then that would put Australian organics right back many, 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 many decades than this fantastical story of the 1980s. And so I went to the Goetheanum, Donark, in Switzerland, and I rummaged through their archives to find what mention of Australia was there. And the reason why that was a reasonable hunch to follow was because Rudolf Steiner in 1924 created at Kobowitz this entity called the Experimental Circle, and the full name, Experimental Circle of Anthroposophical Farmers and Gardeners. So this Experimental Circle, his idea was this is a distributed system for researching organic agriculture.
And there were publications and books that went around the world, were there not?
Exactly, there were. Precisely. And Rudolf Steiner steps out of the picture quite quickly because he wasn't well in 1924 and he died in 1925. But in the meantime, this idea of the experimental circle and a differentiated agriculture diffused around the world. And in the early days, it didn't have the name biodynamic farming, and it certainly didn't have the name organic farming. They both came later. So both of these terms, biodynamic agriculture, grew out of Steiner's idea, and organic agriculture also grew out of the biodynamic thinking.
The suspense is building.
Yes. So I'm rummaging through the archives, and what I'm finding is there's 12 Australians. There are Australians who joined the experimental circle, and the data is still there. Their paperwork that they have signed to say, yes, I'm applying to be a member of the experimental circle. One of those names was Eileen McPherson, and that's how I came across Eileen McPherson.
How did you follow that thread then?
Well, I followed it in a slightly tangential way, because right at the beginning of that list was Ernesto Giannone, which was a surprise because here we have an Italian. What is an Italian doing? And his membership of the experimental circle was the very first one from Australia, and he was there getting a German edition of the agriculture course before it even appeared in English. So that was a mystery. So I followed Ernesto's story when I got back to Australia, and it turns out that that intersects with Eileen's story.
Because Ernesto was also an Australian organic farmer.
He was an Italian artist who came to Australia to farm with his brothers before the First World War. He then left for the Somme. He then ended up, after the war, he wasn't repatriated. There's complicated reasons for that. But he wasn't repatriated after the First World War, and he went to Switzerland, and he studied with Rudolf Steiner. And
let's go back to Eileen,
yes,
then, because there is a stronger connection,
exactly,
back to Australia.
Yes. So Ernesto comes back to Australia. He talks about biodynamic farming. He talks about anthroposophy, and he meets Eileen. And so that's a romance there of this dashing young Italian artist. He was a very different kind of character than the Australians that Eileen was ever going to meet. And there was this romance. There was a problem about getting married because he had a very brief marriage in Italy and neither party would grant a divorce, and it didn't ever happen. So together, in any event, together they create a biodynamic farm called Demeter Farm, and that's in Dandenong. And this is the first we can say here is a woman with the idea of creating an organic farm in Australia, and we're talking 1934.
Unusual, to say the least.
It's unusual, and it's very early in the history of organics in Australia. So it's putting it right back to the beginning.
Well, Dr. John Paul, tell us about Demeter, the farm. Dandenong, you say?
Dandenong is, yes, there's a cemetery there now. So it was a mixed farm. It had there's animals and vegetables for it, and it was run for 20 years. And Eileen got sick along the way. She had pernicious anemia. So her story becomes interesting in the sense that if she had developed pernicious anemia a little bit earlier, she would have died really quickly. That's why it's pernicious, because it's deadly. But about the time that she developed it, which is about 1940, there was this idea of if we feed people raw liver, we can get them out of this pernicious anemia, we can resolve it. And so she spent some years in hospital. And when she came out, she was a very deteriorated woman. She couldn't walk and she had multiple issues. But it was her original idea to have this farm in Dandenong. She worked on it. She milked the cows, etc. She never travelled to what would be the spiritual home of biodynamics, which is Switzerland. And she never did that just because of her health.
So is there much left of this farm? Any remnant, any connection, any thread now to Eileen?
When they let the farm go after 20 years, they had some land in Noble Park where they built a house. It was specifically built for her disabilities, and it was a timber house. And when she died, she left that to the council as a park. One of the specifications was they knocked the house down. So it became just an open park, and right now it's a park with a children's playground and so forth. And the children's playground is just where her house was.
So you think she's Australia's first woman organic farmer?
She's Australia's first woman organic farmer. It's very hard to find somebody who's before that, because we're talking way before the term organic agriculture happens. We're talking even before the term biodynamic farming happens. But we are talking after Rudolf Steiner. And she was a member of this experimental circle in Switzerland. And so her idea was to do the research at this farm, report it back to Switzerland, and make this an international movement.
Have you been able to look into her history before the great romance with Ernesto?
Before the great romance with Ernesto? Well, she went to Clyde School, which is now Geelong Grammar. It, let's say, amalgamated with Geelong Grammar. So she went to an exclusive school. It was an all-girls school. She excelled in every sport that the school engaged in, which was basketball and tennis and running. And so she was a top sportswoman. She won the award for the whole school one year. She was academically, she was good. She was a prefect. So she was very active. So this was a great tragedy when she got hit up with this pernicious anemia. On the other hand, she got hit up with pernicious anemia, and just about everybody of that period would have died. But because she got all this treatment, and because of this developing treatment, she went to live another 40 years, despite the fact that it was in a wheelchair.
Do you think there's some sort of a movie, a documentary? There's got to be some film told about this story, don't you think?
Well, she has an interesting story. She has an interesting life. She teamed up with a very interesting bloke. Ernesto has an incredible story as well. And she deserves despite her disability, she continued to have this great interest in anthroposophy and biodynamic farming, to support people who were doing it and to support people who had projects along that way. And she continues to do so even after her death, because there's a legacy.
Dr. John Paul, Research Associate with the University of Tasmania, talking to Sally Dacus. The full story of Eileen McPherson is on the website, The Invisible Farmer.